Greetings, in Jesus' name this morning. Grateful to be in the house of God and be with the brothers and sisters this morning again. This morning, the title of my message, I used a phrase that Charles Spurgeon used one time. He calls it the dearest place on earth. Now, what would I be talking about, possibly? What is the dearest place on earth to you? Abner knows what it is, I believe. What said Abner? What is it, Abner?
I would say on earth, it's my home.
Your home. I thought you'd say that. You just came home from Florida. Well, it's very closely connected. He was referring to the church. But we're going to read in Galatians chapter 5, and we'll see where the two are very, very closely connected as far as the church relationship and the marriage relationship. Very, very closely connected. And I expected that the home would probably be mentioned, but I would like to share some things concerning the body of Christ and the beauty of the body of Christ. I think that it's something that isn't magnified like it should be, and it doesn't always show forth that beauty that I believe that God sees in it. I believe we want to look at the church the way God looks at it and what God sees in it. It's Ephesians chapter 5. I think I said Galatians, didn't I? It's Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about the church relationship with we often use this at weddings concerning husband and wife relationships. And the two go very hand in hand. I believe the marriage relationship is a type of the relationship that God wants to have with His people. I believe it's a beautiful picture of God's heart for His relationship with His people. So I think we'll read in... begin reading in verse 17. And we want to look here at some of the statements that are made concerning the church. It says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Because this is what we talked about this morning. I believe that we have that wisdom, understanding what the will of the Lord is. "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's a savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, that every one of you in particular shall love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we pause before you again this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth, your eternal truth, for your eternal purpose for mankind that was put in place in the beginning and revealed to us in these last days. Thank you, Father, that we can be together this way as a local congregation this morning, and we pray that you would bless our time together and inspire our hearts and inspire our love for one another and for you, that you be glorified and that your church would go forth with power. We bless you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yes, sir. The thing that I see in this chapter is a number of the statements, the number of the things that are very clearly defined here concerning the church. It's brought out here in this chapter. First of all, is that Christ being the head of the church. We know that the church is a body. It's a body with many members, and Christ being that head, Christ is the one that is the head of that. He's the one that gives direction. He gives life. He gives influence into our lives. That I believe is what makes the church a living organism. It has anointing of divine anointing upon it, because the life comes from Christ. It comes from God. It's not just like another organization, like a club, where other people form clubs in our community, and we have all kinds of organizations and clubs. But the Church of God is a body of Jesus Christ, and with Christ at the head of it, and the life flowing through Him, through the Holy Spirit, into each member, it becomes a living organism that is unlike any other organization on the earth. It is a beautiful organization. It is a beautiful organism. It is a living body made up of many members, and each member being under that control and influence of the Spirit of God, fulfilling the calling and purpose that we are called to. It becomes a beautiful organism that brings glory to God. And I believe it is the heart of God. It is something that is very precious in the heart of God. It's something that I believe was revealed. I believe it was in his heart whenever he created the earth. It was what he had in mind. It's what his goal was for humanity, to be an organism where he is at the head and every member a part of that body, bringing glory to him and worshiping him. And we believe that it's revealed and it's fulfilled in the church today. We see, as we look down through here, it says of Christ being the head of the church, it says he is the Savior of the body. He is the one who made it happen. He's the one who delivers us from this world of sin and draws us unto himself and gives us that gives us of his presence, of his Spirit, of his power, and anoints us with his grace and fulfills the work in our lives to bring forth that transformation of the power of God in our lives. You see here it says, therefore the church is subject unto Christ. The church, as we allow ourselves to be under the influence of the Spirit of God and we bow ourselves to God and walk with God, we find ourselves being obedient members of the body, being obedient unto the Spirit of God and yielding ourselves to God, walking with Him and fulfilling the calling that He has for our life. I believe this picture we see here is a picture of the universal church of God at large. I believe God's church is a beautiful, thing how that it's designed throughout, it is throughout the whole world where all those that have been born again and washed in the blood of Jesus, have been baptized into His Spirit, have been, become a part of this universal body of Christ. And I believe that this is what we're seeing here is God and His work in our hearts, and He draws His people into His purpose and into His work. We see the church taking many different, in different cultures and different lands and different nationalities, different places all over the world where the work of God goes forward. Like we heard this morning about the Bible. You know, the Bible, people tried to stamp it out. People tried to destroy it for many years. So it is about the church. The church was persecuted. The church was stamped down. It was pressed down. It was persecuted, and they tried to stamp it out for many years already. Many places where the church experienced much persecution and much opposition, but it's still flourishing today. It's still growing. It's still going forward. It's still saving souls. It's still accomplishing its work. It's something that man cannot stop. It's something that is God's work in the world, and man is not able to stop. But there's no evil powers that are strong enough to stop the church from going forward. It is God's influence in the world today, and it will be there, and it will go forward, and it will continue to grow in spite of all the efforts of man to try to stop it. We see that Christ loved the church, and I believe it is His love and His passion for the church and for the body of Christ that makes it what it is. It's because of that love that He gave Himself for it. He gave Himself, gave His life for the church. He shed His blood, and He sacrificed all that He had. He left the glories of heaven and came down here in this world and died and suffered on the cross for the sake of the church, because He wanted to see the body of Jesus Christ. He wanted to see that body of believers walking and glorifying Him and growing forth in power here on this earth. This was the love that God had for the church, and it's the heart, it's the gem of His heart to see the church of God going forward with power, a glorious church, to present it unto Himself. He wants to present unto Himself a glorious church, and it is His work. He is ever interceding for us today. He is standing at the right hand of God, and He's interceding for you and I, and He is working in our behalf in purifying and sanctifying our lives and perfecting the church for His glory, for His purpose. We know we go through experiences, we go through difficult things sometimes. We go through purgings, and we think of the experience that Job went through. None of us ever, don't believe, we ever went through anything quite like he did, but we do go through similar things. And I believe this is all part of God's plan in working and sanctifying and purifying and cleansing our lives, cleansing the church, cleansing His people, and bringing us to a place of brokenness and surrender and fulfillment and purpose of our life that can bring glory to God, and that the name of Jesus can be lifted up, and that His purpose and His work can be purified and sanctified, and that the name of Jesus is precious among us. I believe that's what the work is all about. It says he nourishes and cherishes the church. I believe it says he sustains the church and he protects the church. I believe that's our God this morning. He knows what we stand in need of. He knows where our weak spots are. He knows where we need to be cared for, and he knows how we need to be ministered to. And he is in all his wisdom deals in each one of our hearts in such a way to nourish and cherish and pour his love on us and to pour his grace in our lives and to strengthen us where we are weak and to purify us where we need purified. And he knows how and he knows what we stand in need of, and his work in our hearts today is for that purpose. And I rejoice in that this morning. You know, sometimes we don't understand why we're going through what we go through. We don't understand the hard times that we face and why did he allow this to happen? Why does he allow that to happen? We don't understand these things sometimes, but whenever we just yield our hearts to God and say amen to his will, we find a purifying and a sanctifying work in our hearts. We find a peace. We find a joy. We find that God is glorified and that our lives are changed and touched and sanctified, and we have become more like he is yielding ourselves to the work that he has, that he does in our lives. And I like what it says here in verse 32. It says, this is a great mystery. It is a mystery. There's a lot of mystery about the church. There's a lot of things that we can't really explain. Explain all of the details of why and how it all works, but we know that it is a great mystery, the church of God, and God's working in us, God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, each one of us dwelling in him and walking with him, experiencing his presence in our lives, going forth with the power of God upon us. This is a great mystery, and it's something that we just stand back in awe of God, knowing that God is in control, and we yield our hearts to him and walk with him and serve him for all that he is to us. I like in the verse in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, wherefore he is also able to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. See, Jesus, his heart, his passion for the church today is that he is standing at the right hand of God, and he's looking down on the church, and he is interceding between us and God for our behalf, for our needs, or for whatever he sees that we stand in need of. He's standing between us and God. He's standing there interceding for us today. He says he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And I thank God for that this morning, that God is on, Jesus is on our side. He's there. He's our intercessor. He's like our attorney that stands there working in our hearts and dealing between us and God, interceding for us, for our needs and in our behalf, because he loves us and he cares for us and he wants to see us experiencing that which will bring glory to his name. We see a passionate commitment from Jesus. I believe he was passionately committed to the love and the care and the provision of the church. That's where his heart is. That's where his passion is. That's where his love is. And I believe that should challenge us to be passionately committed to Christ and to his church, and to care about the work of the church, to care about what he does. I believe that we as children of God, we are called to love what he loves and to care about what he cares about and to be passionate about what he is passionate about. And I believe that Jesus Christ is passionate about the church. I believe if we read the scriptures and we see the heart of God, we know that it is his passion to see the church going forward, see the church being purified and going forward in peace and accomplishing the work that it is called to do. I'm blessed with that. To think of the Jesus, his one heart, his passion, his goal is to see his people going forward in peace and love and experiencing the grace of God in our lives. I think of the church in Ephesians chapter 3. There's a few verses I want to read. Ephesians 3 verse 9. It says, and here we see the purpose and the desire, the goal. It says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent now that unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here we see that in the beginning, God's desire was to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery. And then we see that it says here that to the intent that principalities and powers and heavenly places, I believe these, there were the principalities and powers in heavenly places even stand back and marvel at the mystery of the church today. It says that from the beginning of the world, this was the heart of God who created all things by Jesus Christ. And it was his heart. And I believe this was hid back in the beginning. I believe it was something that was hid, but it was revealed in these latter days that the mystery of God's dwelling in his people and the beautiful work of the church going forward. It is the eternal purpose. It was the eternal purpose of God in Christ Jesus from the very beginning. And it's something that God had planned. He had it drawn up long before. And even the heavenly beings marveled at it and wondered at it. And as the church reveals itself, they stand back and they marvel at the mystery of God dwelling in his people and of the church going forward in the name of Jesus. And I believe that this is a mystery. This is a mystery that even those in heaven look on with amazement. It says the mystery of God's heart from the beginning is revealed even to the heavenly beings of God's great wisdom through the outworkings of the church on the earth. We think of the the local congregation. You know, we talk about the church being a universal church, but yet there's nothing so practical as a local gathering of believers. When the Bible talks about the church throughout the New Testament, it's talking about a gathering of local believers and how they work together and they worship together and they share together in a one anothering relationship. I believe in Hebrews chapter 10 it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold fast a profession of faith without wavering. Let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So I believe this is the challenge of the brothers and sisters caring for one another and sharing with one another. I think that the one anothering ministry in the church is one of the biggest influence, one of the most important aspects of church life. The Bible talks a lot of different places about the one anothering, how that we here it says about consider We just read there where it said, consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We share together and we consider one another and we love one another. In John 13:34, it says, about loving one another. In Romans 12, it says, being devoted to one another. In Romans 2, it says, honor one another. Rejoice with one another. In Galatians, it says, serving one another. In Galatians 6:2, it says, carrying one another's burdens. In Ephesians, it says, forgiving one another. In Thessalonians, it says, encouraging one another. And Peter says, having hospitality one to another. And then James talks about confessing our sins one to another and praying for one another. And I believe this is a beautiful thing about the church in the local congregation, the local community, where brothers and sisters come together and share our burdens with one another, and we lift one another up in prayer, and we lift one another up with words of life and words of encouragement and words of admonition and instruction and whatever the need may be. It's that relating together, every member in the church relating together in caring for one another and being a blessing to one another and being there for each other. I can honestly say that the church has been a beautiful place to be in my own experience. I know it's been, I think my wife and I have been members of this church for almost 34 years. And we think back of all the things that we've been through over this time. I'm thankful that I can say that of those 34 years, I can't remember of a time when I really... any time in that time that I wished I wasn't a member here and I wished that I was somewhere else. I just thank God for that. I thank God for the blessing of having brethren that care for us and love us and are there for us and are share with us and are willing to forgive and are willing to help us when we need help and are willing to pray for us and willing to be a blessing to us. And it's been a life of a blessing, a life there's been hard times, there's been difficult times to go through, but that's why we've come through, is because the church has been there for us. The church has been able to care for us and lift us up and be a blessing to us. I don't think we would have made it any other way. And I thank God for that. I thank God. That's why we're here. That's what the church is all about. That's what we're here for. And I trust that we can continue and look forward with confidence in continuing to walk together and be a blessing to each other and care for each other along the way. This one anothering relationship in the body of Christ is that influence of God that radiates out to the world around us as a testimony of God's grace in our lives. I believe that is the beautiful influence that goes out as a testimony to the world around us, where people see that we care about each other, where people see that we love one another. John talks about that men will know that you're my disciples because of the love that you have one for another. And that's the testimony. That's the influence of God radiating out from the church. Whenever those influences are there, whenever God is dwelling in our hearts and the influence of love radiates out to those that look on, it's a testimony that the world knows nothing about. It's a testimony, a beautiful testimony of God's grace in the lives of His people. This is that which draws us together. It's that which builds us up. It's that which encourages us and edifies and sanctifies and purifies. It heals. Heals our relationships. It heals our lives and it glorifies God. This is the beautiful thing, the influence of the grace of God in the lives of His believers in the church, working together, one anothering one another in whatever way it is, in whatever needs may be. We care for one another, loving one another, ministering to one another. It's a beautiful influence today. The most important elements for a fulfilling and productive church life are commitment and passion. I believe commitment is one of the key ingredients in a productive and a fruitful church life, where we are committed to one another. We aren't just here to see how it goes and then run if it doesn't feel good, but we're committed to be here and to work together and to work through things and to solve problems and find answers and continue on. That's commitment. That's what commitment's all about. And I believe just as Jesus Christ is committed to work with us, we need to be committed to work with one another. We need to be committed to continue on, to work through our issues, work through our needs, and allow God to bring answers to our needs and fulfill His purposes in our heart. Church life has its challenges, but if we face it with a commitment to resolve issues, to overcome obstacles, to keep going on even when it isn't easy, we'll find much grace to forgive and to regain, to rebuild, or whatever is necessary to continue on being what God wants us to be. But if we don't have that commitment and passion, if we come to church with a lot of suspicion and doubt and fear and criticism and apathy, we don't have that if we don't have that commitment and passion for the church, but instead we have fear and doubt and suspicion and all other things there, that instead of that, our church life isn't going to be very pleasant. It's not going to be very fruitful. It's not going to be very productive. We need to deal with those things if those things are in our heart. And I know because of experiences we go through, we tend to battle with some of those things sometimes. And it is something that becomes real. But I believe we need to deal with those things. We need to deal with our hearts, and we need to to rise up to the commitment of going on with God and continuing to walk with God and to walk with our brothers and sisters and to be all that God wants us to be. Another scripture I want to look at is in John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verse 15. Here we see Peter. Peter denied Jesus three times when he was being tried and there in the temple and there at the in the sufferings of Christ. And now we see after Jesus come back with his disciples, after the resurrection, it says, when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And what is it that Jesus tells him? He tells him to go out and do some great thing for him, or What is his simple command that Jesus said, if you really love me, he says, feed my lambs. Take care of my church. Take care of my people. This was the most important thing, I believe, in Jesus' heart. He said, if you really love me, Peter, feed my lambs. Then he said to him again, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Again he said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And if you look at those terms, feed my sheep, that word feed in the Greek, actually the first two times it's a different word than it is the last time. It's not a whole lot different, but it says it means to tend as a shepherd, to supervise, to feed or rule. And the second term, the third time it says it, that of to pasture or graze or take them out to graze or provide for them. Provide for them. Take care of them. Keep them. This was Jesus' challenge to Peter. In his response to loving him, feed my sheep. Take care of my people. Take care of my church. So I believe loving God and loving the church cannot be separated. I believe they were one and the same. Caring for the people, caring for his sheep, caring for his lambs. This is the heart of God. This is the heart, the love. This is the love that Jesus had, was for his sheep, for his lambs. And if Peter loved him, and if we love him like we say we do, we will love his people. We will care for his people. We will care for his church. We will want to see it. We will love it. We will want to provide for it. We want to do what we can to build it up and to be a blessing and to be an encouragement and to be there to bless one another and to edify one another and build one another up and to feed the church, to feed the lambs, to feed the sheep. So it's my challenge to each of us this morning that we have that commitment to follow Christ in the church and in the body of Christ and in our relationships with one another, and that we have that passion for righteousness and holiness and peace, that which would be bring glory to God, and that which would be we would be filled with His presence and allow His love to radiate from our hearts, and not only within ourselves, but when we have that right relationship among ourselves like it should be, it will radiate out into the world, and we will be a testimony. We will have a desire to bring others into the church. We will have a desire for evangelism and to draw men unto Jesus and to have a love for the lost, a love for our neighbors, and a love for our relatives and whoever it may be that may have needs. We have that love among us. That love is going to reach out far and wide. It's going to build the church. It's going to add to the church, and it's going to edify the body of Christ, and it's going to glorify God. There's a direct connection between loving God and caring for His people. You cannot truly love God and not love His people. That's very clear in the Word of God. It's very clear in our hearts this morning. So it's my challenge to you this morning. It seems like church is sort of a scary thing. I don't know. I know a lot of people have gone through a lot of hurtful experiences in church life. I know that there can be a lot of difficult things, and it can look scary. It can be a fearful thing, it seems like. But I just want to challenge each of you. If you're here this morning and you're fearful of church, you're fearful of becoming committed and becoming involved, and you're because of experiences you've had in your past, I just want to challenge you and recommend to you the church. I can say that In my experience, it's been a tremendous blessing. It's been a very dear place. Sunday is a very, very special day of the week, a day to come together with the brothers and sisters. It's a day to be among God's people and to share and to be a part of something that is a loving and a spiritual relationship. And I wouldn't know how I'd live without it. And I just want to encourage anyone that is struggling with how to relate to the church. I believe that if you have a love and a commitment and a passion for Jesus Christ, you will love His people and you will find yourself blessed and encouraged to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ.